red button, red button, red button, red button. I think I'm gonna say that in front of every Lucy.
Hold up.
Not the crickets though.
Hold up. This is the very last episode of this season. I want to play a song that makes me, that turns my day around every time I hear it, because this is the gratitude episode.
Whoa, hold on.
Without further ado,
I'm excited. Hold up. Oh my gosh, that's funny as hell.
Every time I hear this song, I'm damn near guaranteed to have a great day. Reminiscing on me, caught up in the past. She was busy out living in my lap. A soulmate meeting at last. And I just wanna have you back. Whoa! Hello, friends.
Yo, hello.
Welcome.
Welcome, and you know, we're happy to have you back.
Absolutely. Welcome to another episode of I'm Not Supposed to Be Here.
You want to hear some story before we give our intros?
Yes, go ahead. Hit us with a story.
Yeah, so shout out to Certified Studios over in the Bronx and Gun Hill Road. Right after, Jules and I were just sitting and we were just freestyling, and I just had this beat sitting on my phone and we freestyled the hook for this song. And then we kept it into the project and everything.
Nice.
But it works. Yeah, I'm surprised that you really liked it.
We called it
our Spider-Man track.
off a
Soundflower.
It makes sense.
It sounded similar. But my fault to mess up the order.
Nah, you're good. You're good. Without further ado, I am your host, Trent L. Dixon, a.k.a. Dynamic Lover, a.k.a. Black Ronin.
Whoa.
A.k.a. Damn. Trenticus, a.k.a. Trenton.
Whoa.
A.k.a. the host, slightly with the most, a.k.a. your favorite baby daddy. And I'm always joined by my brother.
Eclectic Sage, you know, just happy to be here. I was supposed to rock with multiple alter egos. I mean, I got my son Polaris. I'm Polaris, the brightest star. But y'all have yet to hear it as of recording, so hey. And I'm Donatello with the Cigarello, if you notice.
Which I still need to hear.
Yeah. I have some AKAs, but they're not published yet. And I'm also joined by...
Derek.
Trevor went so hard.
My bad. I should have went last.
You set a precedent that none of us can follow.
My fault. I'm excited. It's going to be a good episode.
Oh, yeah. I'm Steven, a.k.a. the whitest kid you know. That's about it.
But we're also joined here in the studio by a fifth person. Pass that mic to him real quick, just so you can say his name.
My name is Omari. I'm Mari. I was on the last episodes. Thank you for introducing me, Trent. I'm just here.
Yo. Season finale. We're talking about gratitude today. But before that, how's everybody doing? Derek. How you been, sir?
I'm doing good. I've been taking a lot of time about thinking about everything, so it's just really nice that I get to be here.
Yeah.
That's one thing I'm really grateful to be here.
So between the last time we spoke, you've been a traveling man, huh?
Whoa.
Absolutely. No. I just recently came back from Japan 2 weeks ago.
Whoa.
Nice.
Whoa.
That's a whole lot of something.
Whoa. Shout out to Japan.
What part of Japan was your favorite that you went to?
My favorite was the Kanagawa area, which is one of the prefectures in there.
Yeah.
And just that whole area alone was just something that was something I never knew I liked. Like the beach area, it's not as crowded. You get good food, good seafood everywhere. And it's just such a calm area. It's also in between like the more popular area. So you can just go between one and the other.
Are you familiar with like how to break down prefectures or like what the prefecture is for Japan or...
Not really. I'm not going to lie. Okay. When I first went, I actually knew nothing about any of the cities. I heard about Tokyo, Osaka. I didn't understand any of it because I didn't do any research, because regardless, I'm not going to understand it anyways. So I had to kind of go there and figure it out myself. So after I was there for a while, then I was able to kind of see where the cities are, where everything is.
Yeah.
So.
So you're just all around discovery.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of life, in my opinion.
You went by yourself or you went with somebody?
I went with myself.
Oh, that's a fire solo trip. That's amazing.
Oh, yeah. I went to 10 cities.
Now, I learned about the prefectures when I was playing, what's that Sucker Punch game? Ghost of Tsushima. And, oh my God. I cried when I played that game.
One of my friends says he wanted to go there just because of that game.
Yo, that game was so amazing. But yeah, I learned about the prefectures and how, Japan was separated into different things so that they could kind of see, like, all right, you're the, like, warlord of this area, and then, like, have, like, a kind of, you know, the emperor was, like, kind of like a show emperor. It was, like, more so the, like, the warlords pretty much, like, owned places. It was kind of, like, very similar to, like, European feudalism, but it was a little bit more, it had its regional differences, but it was really cool seeing like how you went there and like you got to see it because it's still separated by like, oh yeah, there's this prefecture and stuff like that.
Oh, it was life changing.
Yeah,
I promise you.
Ooh. I want to go to Japan.
100%. Everyone must go to
Japan. I think Trent's going to Japan soon, right?
Yeah.
Yes, he is.
See. What I'm wrong language, buddy.
Yes.
What's up?
Wrong language, buddy.
Oh, about that.
You know, it's very funny. If you like, a lot of people talk about like the similarities between Japanese languages and like I believe sub-Saharan African languages, or just like the way that they pronounce words and stuff is very, very similar. So it's very funny how like, you know, languages, despite separation across continents, could be like mad similar.
Oh yeah.
Like, but yeah, you know, a lot of Spanish people love Japanese culture. Like if you go to like Mexico, they love
Dragon Ball.
They love Dragon Ball. I have a lot of Mexican friends that love what's that one? That's the one with the battle mechs. Neon Evangelion.
Oh,
that one.
Evangelion. Yeah, I've seen so many. Like they love that thing. So it's really awesome that.
Yeah, still don't ever watch it. I was like, I don't know what I'm. I didn't understand it.
It's like a meta. It's like it's hard to. I've tried to watch it like a bunch of times. It's hard, but it was like same with Akira. It took me like 4 times to try to watch Akira to get all the way through it. But like I enjoyed it. It was a good movie. Like I like movies that are hard to like watch because that means it's challenging me in some way. So it's like I gotta figure out why it's challenging me.
Since we're fully going on the whole like Japan anime tangent, I cannot get into anime.
Really?
I really can't. Like,
why not?
Back when I was younger, I watched, you know, the mainstream ones. I watched Dragon Ball, I watched Naruto, whatever.
Yeah.
But when I try to branch out myself, for the most part, because, like, on, you know, shout out to Nami back in the day, dating myself a little bit. But they, for the most part, played, you know, there was some filler, for the most part. But most of the time, it was just, like, straightforward, story progresses, great. After I tried to branch out, I noticed that, like, the stuff that I was watching, it would take like there would be like it would go up to this epic moment where there's this big fight, they're about to go at it, and then like right as they're about to start, there's like 3 episodes of a backstory.
Oh man, you're just talking about Naruto.
Yeah,
yeah, like
no, I just like, I could, like
it's because you're watching
and
shonen.
Like, yeah, it ruined the immersion for me. And then like you know again there would be like a break of like filler where it's like they're in the middle of this fight and then all of a sudden beach episode and like
yeah, I think same problem with anime. A lot
it.
Of filler and a lot of exposition. Full Metal Alchemist,
Brotherhood, loved it.
Yes, it's good at skipping that.
Yeah,
loved
it. Chainsaw Man, I think, is good at skipping that as well.
Manga is weird right now.
What's up?
The manga of Chainsaw Man right now is really weird.
Yeah. I'd say for me, like I love anime a lot. I understand. My love for anime came from when I discovered it on my own, and I always loved to watch seasonal anime shows, ones that were like ones that were very like, you know, you may not ever see this show ever happen again. So they're about to go crazy hard about this one storyline. Mm. Make sure that episode is filled to the brim of just narrative structure and like whatever. And it like made sense. And like you could have the beach episode, but like it was going to be after like, you know, the zombie apocalypse happened and they just like they earned that. So like that was my kind of thing into anime. I loved it. I love Studio Ghibli and I like the way in which anime tells and serves as a counterpart to the way that we tell narrative and like the West and how, you know, not everything has to have a narrative structure. Like I didn't understand like My Neighbor Totoro until like I was just like, you know what, this is just a movie just to experience just the calm and peace that like a Japanese prefecture could just give you by just like, really, oh my gosh, like my mom is sick, but like, you know what, I'm gonna be a kid and just like explore. And it's just like that feeling just put into a movie, and you're just like, it's no plot, there's no narrative, it's just vibes. It's just like,
yep.
Yeah. And that's okay.
Would you say that anime is one of the things that you are grateful for?
I am very, very grateful for anime. And, you know, segway.
Is everybody doing the segway stuff?
I have never done one. I had to do it.
Hey, but what's the topic? What's the topic we're segwaying into?
We're talking about gratitude today, about what we're grateful for. Yeah. You know, last episode of the season, so figured, you know.
Before we dive into it, and I break my phone.
Sound like a brick in the ground.
I want to tell a little story. You heard this story, Steven.
I have.
Yes, you have.
Oh.
It's been like 2 weeks. About 2 weeks ago, I got Karen at Whole Foods.
Yes. Whoa.
We love that. So I ran to Whole Foods during my break. I just need to get out of the office. and so I go to the bar at Whole Foods. It's in the eating area. It looks, you know, you can look out. There's a big window. You can look out the city.
Food bar, not drinking bar, clarify.
Food bar. And so I'm looking, right, and a lot of the seats are taken. So there's a woman sitting in one seat. Next to her, the seat is empty. Next to that, the seat is empty. Napkin holder in the middle. Next seat is empty, but it has like a little pallet, like a little napkin laid out, a bunch of plasticware. Nobody's there.
Yeah.
Whatever. Next seat is empty. And then there's a man there. So I naturally take the seat next to the napkin holder. Not where the pallet is, but next to the pallet, because it's the furthest away from people. I sit down, I put on my headphones, I start checking the Jira. So I'm like, let's see if I can get some shit done.
Shout out Atlassian, I guess.
What's up?
I said Atlassian's probably gonna sponsor us.
But no, and then so Jira I hear this noise, and then I look, and there's this white lady next to me that seems flustered. And she's like talking to me, but I have music playing and my headphones, so I can't really understand it. And she walks away, and then I look at the guy that's sitting to the right, and he, you know, he gives me the shrug, like, I don't know. I was like, I don't know either. So I turn my music down. I was like, let me see what's going on. And then so she comes back, and she's mumbling to herself. I was like, is everything okay? She's like, no, you're so rude. You're so rude. You're so inconsiderate. You people are animals.
Wow.
And I was like,
that's wild. Whoa.
It was like, what do you say? Yo, you come over here, and you get in my space, and you do this. And she was like, look right here. You came over here, and you touched me. See if I was to sit down. And she gets close to me, right? Right. Oh, mind you, there's a napkin dispenser between us. There's enough space for her to sit where her little pallet is of napkins or whatever. She was like, and see, if I want to sit down, I'd do this, and then you'd be hitting me. And I was like, huh? Wow. And so I have to, you know, I have to reach in, and I have to calm myself.
Yeah,
I'm like, what the hell? I was like, yo, it's not that serious. There's enough space for everybody. I said, no, it's not. You come in here, and you take up all this space. I was like, you could easily ask me to scoot over. Mind you, no matter where I would have sat, I would have been next to somebody.
Yeah.
Regardless. Anyway, I was like, Trent, leave it alone for now. Finish what you're doing. And then at the end of your break, you know, if you want to say something, say something. So in my head, I'm like, all right, what am I going to say to this lady? But I can obviously tell that she's in pain. So I was like, let me leave it on a positive note. So I put my laptop away. I get ready to go. I lean in and I was like, ma'am, whatever you're going through right now, whatever's on your heart, whatever's hurting you, I hope you get over it. Wow. She's like, whatever's hurting me, you're in my face, you're so inconsiderate, you people are animals, you came over here and you pushed me. And I said, excuse me? Man, there are cameras in here. You came over here and touched me. I was like, if you want, I can go get security right now. I thought I was like, I'm going to text my boss, tell him I'm going to be late. He'd completely understand because he's a petty person. But anyway. and she was like, you guys, you should just go back to your home. And I was like, where's that? And she kind of, you know, mind you, she has an Eastern European accent.
Yeah.
So she kind of caught herself and she didn't say anything. She was like, now you're invading my space. Blah, blah, blah. I was like, ma'am, exactly how you came over to me and invaded my space. I was like, but you know what? It's all good. What did I say to her? I said something else to her. I was like, I'm going to leave it at that. I hope you have the day you deserve. And I walked away.
Now, the day you deserve is funny, though. Respect. Yeah, respect.
On the subject of gratitude, She should be grateful that she got Trent.
Trent's a kiss.
Any of Trent's siblings.
Oh.
Because she would have got her shit rocked right there upon the first interaction.
Yo.
But it's okay because, like I said, I saw she was going through something. And I'd rather end a situation like that on a positive note. I'd rather put more love and kindness in the world than negativity. But whatever with that. So what's everybody grateful for this past year?
I think you brought up a great thing that I love about these gratitude episodes, happening this being our second one. There's a philosopher called Simone Weil. Weil, but with a W, because she was, I think, German. So they have that weird thing. Like Vasily Kandinsky is Vasily. But anyways, so she talks about attention, and it's just like it's kind of like the wolf if you, the thing that I was talking about last episode. And it's really just, life can either be seen as torture or blessing, and it's really just a matter of perspective. How am I going to go into the situation with the perspective that I have?
Absolutely.
And you know, you could have taken it to the depths and been justified, but I mean, at what point do you sabotage yourself and like what you want in life? And it's just like the attention that you pay to, you know, the world around you. Absolutely. You saw that somebody was actually hurt, and it's just like, it's not really a me thing. It's just them. Yeah. And just like separating that allows you to deal with the situation.
Absolutely.
And I guess to go off of what I'm grateful for is just the nature of perspective, and just being able to really sit in my perspective and be more confident in that over the past year, and just feel like my perspective is valid, everyone's perspective is valid, but I'm going to keep on pushing to make sure that I'm seen and that I'm learned about and explore the world on my own terms. And I respect the terms of elders, and that's why I'm very grateful for like the way that the past year turned out, because it was just like, I was grateful for the ability to achieve my degree, for the ability to like work with a bunch of amazing artists, to, you know, have like a living body of work be out and published, and then, you know, have two more on the way. I feel like I had kids. I was like, just two more on the way. So be very gracious about like all those things. And yeah, always gracious to like do this podcast and absolutely. Everything. I feel like it's an amazing space to just talk and articulate ideas. Always love that Lucas is here in spirit.
Always in always, spirit. Yeah, always we in spirit. We did a whole second season. You remember when we started?
Yeah.
I purchased the equipment and came in the mail. The cart that goes in here slipped away, so the day we planned on doing the first episode, we had to run to Best Buy. We were continuing on our crazy conversations, and then we went back to Lucas's place, and we recorded 4 episodes in a row.
In one day.
If we didn't have to look for that memory card, it would have been like 5 or 6. Like we were so excited to do this, and I think in a lot of respects, we're still just as excited, and I'm grateful for that. You know, without taking up too much of the time, though, what about you, gentlemen?
Let's
talk about some of the things you're grateful for.
This past year, I'm definitely grateful for friends and family, and just being able to be vulnerable and know that when doing so, I have the backing to do so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm also grateful for storytellers and great stories.
Indeed.
For my wife, who is the light of my life. Cool. I talk about her on every podcast. I sound like a broken record. Well, every podcast I'm on, I probably sound like a broken record at this point. People probably speak on this part like, ugh, too simpy. I'm a simp. I don't care. I'm grateful that I now I'm out of my toxic job at Beep.
They don't deserve that.
I am grateful that I'm out of my toxic job at there we go, thank you. And it's one that I prefer much better and a much more stable schedule, to where I can, you know, have time for myself and my family. And I'm grateful that I am still here, and that although there were many obstacles and bumps, I was able to continue moving forward, because the most important step that a man can take is always the next one. And as long as you take that next step, That's not me, by the way. That's a Brandon Sanderson quote. Shout out Brandon Sanderson.
Shout out to Brandon Sanderson.
As long as you take that next step, you will never stop moving forward.
Ooh.
Nice.
Cooking. Yeah. For me, I'm very grateful that I haven't gotten everything that I ever wanted and for all the bad experience that I've actually experienced.
Ooh.
And the reason for that is because if I never experienced all those bad things, I wouldn't be able to become a better person every day, right? If everything went the way I wanted to go, then what's the point of life? That's boring, right?
Yeah.
So for me, I'm very grateful that I'm able to do whatever I want, even though I feel like my life circumstances could be better. I'm still like very grateful that I went through a lot of hardships, but that is something to, if you know, then you know, but if not, then yeah, I'm just grateful for being here, honestly.
It's funny because when you reflect back, you know, you remember those parts. you remember the like the key ones that are like very traumatic, but even like just the feelings, and you remember the feelings, but it's not like, you know, it overshadows the good in most scenarios. I mean, there's certain ones that you're just like, I wish that, you know, knowing what I know now, it makes no sense why I would have ever went through that. But it's just like a kind of piece of like, now that I know that that's the case, everything that I have control in my immediate existence never even has to reflect that. And that's just like a beautiful sentiment in itself. It's just like, I have the power to really elevate myself and elevate the people around me that truly care and love for me.
Exactly. Another thing I'm grateful too is like literally on December 31st, 2023, that's the first time I actually started a list of writing what I'm grateful for that year.
Nice.
So then that was something I'm very grateful to for actually starting that. And then ironically, the next day was like one of the worst days ever in my life.
Yeah.
But from that moment on, I started like reflecting on everything I've ever done and just realizing that I should be grateful for all these experiences, even if they weren't necessarily the best for me and I was suffering through it. At the end of the day, like, I knew that I don't really deserve it and that I can become a better person than it from that experience.
Yeah, from that experience.
So, yeah, like, I'm grateful for myself. This might sound like
no, that's not
true. I'm grateful for myself because I did all the things I said I didn't want to do, right? Like, if I was scared of it, I'll be like, you know what? I'm going to do it anyways. Why? Because it's fun.
Yeah.
So I will never stop myself from doing something that I might want to do, right? Like, I'm always trying to challenge my actual, like, my body's telling me, oh, you probably shouldn't do this, right?
Yeah.
But I'm like, I don't care what my body thinks. I'm going to do it anyways.
Yeah.
So I'm very grateful for just doing things, like, spontaneously.
Yeah, just swallowing really ghost peppers.
Yeah. Like, if I was doing that right now, I would literally do it. Even though I don't want to. Like, even all my trips, too, they weren't really planned ahead. Like, when I went to Japan, right, I was just like, I should probably go, right? I don't want to, like, regret it. So I'm just like, I said I wanted to do it, like, 7 years ago, and I never actually did it. So I was like, I think I'm, like, I have the skills now to do it. So I'm like, you know what? I'll just buy those tickets, and I just
figure
did it.
Out.
Exactly. Yeah. I did, like, very little research beforehand. I didn't know the geography, I didn't know the language, and I didn't know anyone there. But I was just like, you know, something I want to do, so I'm going to do it. And I will live the life that I want to live that no one can really tell me what to do.
That's so far, though.
Yeah.
That's far.
I think I'm going to pass the mic over to our friend Amari so he can tell us what he's grateful for as well.
Yeah.
Got to include everybody.
Oh, Lord. I wasn't expecting this. But to say I'm not grateful would be an understatement. I am extremely grateful for my mom. You know, earlier this week we had a little argument, but it was nothing crazy. I'm like the whitest black kid you'll ever meet. Like, me and my mom, like, had arguments a lot growing up. Like, dude, you thought I wasn't getting a belt at all. I was getting a belt, unfortunately. You just didn't see it. But actually, she, like, the same week that we had an argument, she got sick yesterday. And it's just almost baffling to me, the contrast in energy. It's like, she can't stay mad because she's so forgiving and patient. You know, it taught me a lot about how to be a better person and how to be not just open-minded, but to be forgiveful. Like, to have the empathy and understanding to be like, you're growing still and you still have the chance to be something great instead of just giving up.
Yeah.
Because, you know, she does often, it sounds like everybody gives up one day at a time, but, and I understand that it's not easy, but
regardless of whatever happens in this world, I know that she'll have my back, and that's what I'm grateful for. And shout out my boys Trent, shout out my boy Sage, shout out my boy Steven, shout out my boy Derek. I am happy to share the room with you guys every single day of my life. We could be locked in this room for like, I'm gonna check that door in a few seconds. It would have been a good life.
I appreciate you. I love it. Well, we appreciate you. I'm so happy that you know, Jules introduced me to you and everything. We're still getting to know each other, but like, I'm just very grateful that I got to meet you.
Very grateful that I got to meet
all you guys. I mean, got to know you guys through Trent, and I got to know Trent through Lucas. And just working at a place.
Absolutely. Shout out to Lucas. If you're looking for some pants and whatnot, you know, go down and be grateful.
Our one and only sponsor for the whole season. If you haven't been looking, LucasMG.shop.
Also, I'm grateful for the podcast, because before this, I never felt comfortable talking to a mic, but ever since the first podcast, and I was like, you know what, it's not that bad, so I'm kind of used to like talking now.
I had the same thing.
I feel like I have a voice now.
That's beautiful. I love that.
I honestly felt the same way. I'm almost over, if I don't pay attention to it, my own voice in my ears.
You got to get to the use of it, like to the point where you love your voice.
I don't know about that.
It comes with music more so. Because, like, if you had to be in, like, the engineer seat, it's literally, like, you have to listen to the same, like, 5 seconds over and over to, like, hear and, like, cut the mix. And it's just, like, if you're mixing, you have to, like, your voice at least a little bit. Or else I would jump out a window.
Even when I was in Japan, sorry for interrupting.
No, you're good.
But, like, I actually recorded myself every day, every night, to kind of like recap my day. Just doing this kind of led me to actually doing that.
I'm very grateful for
every little thing that kind of made me do what I want to do now. Like everything I do now, it's usually inspired by someone I met. They just don't know it. So I'm just grateful for everyone I met, like you guys, everything. I'm grateful for everything.
Isn't it so beautiful that you become the culmination of everybody that's ever spoke to you?
Yeah, I love that.
That's the beautiful thing about connections.
That's what it means to be human.
Yeah. That's why we're social creatures. We learn from each other. We grow from each other, you know?
Yeah. And it's very funny. I feel like, you know, the universe is like that. Like, it's growing and just loving itself and just trying to figure out itself through everything.
Exactly.
I feel like that also kind of ties into like kind of storytelling or however you consume whatever, because like it's not everybody, you know. For the majority of my life growing up, I was very, very introverted. I was not able to go out and like meet people. I was pretty sheltered, but I found that connection and I found solace through the written word, through music, through movies, television, whatever. Because even when you feel like you're alone, you're not, as long as you have other voices around you. You don't necessarily have to be talking to them directly. They could just be talking to you in whatever way. And that's the beautiful thing about life and connection. And that's another thing I'm really grateful for, just connections in whatever way you're able to form them.
Yeah, that's the beautiful thing about media, because like when you make something, it's like you have to glean something from experience, especially like if you're talking about something. Like whenever I make music, I try to talk about like a topic or talk about a feeling. And it's like, yeah, some things, like, it's not a good song just because it's well written. It's just like I envisioned the soul of this person as I was speaking about it, or I was envisioning this moment, and I just try to put it as much as I needed to just to capture the moment. And it's kind of like a photography or like a podcast or like the written log of just capturing moments. And it's just like a lot of media is just, and the nature of capturing and disseminating moments. And it's just really beautiful when you just interact with something that resonates with you, because like from the writer's perspective, it's just like, yeah, of course it resonates with you, because it's not just you, it's my friend that like I love so dearly. And because, you know, I wrote this character and he's supposed to be a reflection of me and my struggles, and I wrote this other side character where me and my friend butt heads and you related to that. That was just me and my friend just having an argument in our backyard or playing catch or playing ball, and I just threw it in the backdrop of space, or threw it in the backdrop of wherever, and it's just like, or I threw it in a comic book, and it's just like, those are real moments that like people are capturing. And so I'm like, I'm super gracious that, you know, I have the power to do that, that I can push other people to be artists and push other people to do that. And the fact that I come into contact with so many beautiful people that are artists, whether they know it or not, because everybody is a living and breathing artist because they create moments every day. Mm-hmm. Whether good or bad.
It's going to sound weird, but I'm thankful for the ability to be thankful.
Yeah.
I'm thankful also to acknowledge that. Because I know a lot of times, especially when you're younger, and I think I was able to grasp this pretty early, which I'm thankful for, you know, moments pass and you don't realize it's a moment until it's gone.
Yeah.
You know, and I think now I'm a little more cognizant of that, and I try to approach everything with a greater appreciation of its rarity. You know, we may not be able to sit, we may not ever be able to sit at a table like this and talk again. You know, who knows what's going to happen tomorrow? And even if we are, it's not going to be like this moment. That doesn't make it any less, you know, great or valuable. But you know, you're never going to be able to meet Derek for the first time or meet Steven for the first time, you know?
Yeah.
You know, so I'm just thankful for the ability to acknowledge that. You know, I think that's important. Me and a homie from work, we, her and I, we have a thing called Thankful Thursday. So we just kind of bug each other about what we're thankful for. And that's a good reminder of, you know, things to be thankful for. And I try to instill that every day. I try to find something to be thankful for. But just want to throw that
out. I'm thankful for the girl screaming in the back.
That's what that is. That's what that is.
Yeah, that sounds crazy. But I think they're doing a fashion show in the background or something. But they're just like
excited. I'm over here, so like, is the machine screaming? Yeah.
No, because everybody's looking at. I was
that's
like,
funny. That's
funny. Reminded me of back in the day.
Oh my gosh, the boy.
Yo.
Reminded me of the back of the day with dial-up where the freaking would sound like robots screaming.
Oh my god. Trying to connect to it.
Ooh, can I also add one more thing too?
Yeah.
I'm definitely very thankful ever since coming from Japan that I was born and raised in New York City.
Yeah.
Because this city really prepares you for pretty much everything. Nothing really surprises you.
Yeah.
You see everything here. If you go anywhere else, you're like, yeah, I've seen that before.
Yeah, you're like, oh, so. I don't, it's not, that's the other thing. Like, it's really cool, like, that New York City even exists. And I feel like as I gotten older and as I've taken from like notes from like my favorite artist Kendrick and stuff, it's just like, you know, when you're passionate about where you're from and stuff, it's just like, and you put it in your art, it like speaks to you. And so like just trying to put New York City as like the center, like even when you hear the podcast, like you hear a random Amy Litz in the background. Yeah. Shit, like, yeah. It may not be intentional, but like just being more like centered on just promoting the nature of the city and New York and everything, and just putting that around. And it's really cool that New York even exists. Who it exists for is always a good question. The battle of New York, like we said last episode, there's a lot of warring ideas in the city. I just think it's very interesting to look at New York through that lens, because it's one of the best natural harbors in the world, and that's why it's so popular.
New York is a very interesting creature.
Yeah,
100%. It is a creature.
There is no denying it. It has a life of its own.
Like New York City.
Yeah, I'm sorry for the brand of New York.
Yeah, we should do a pod about New York one day.
Yeah, literally yesterday.
Just our experience. On the list. Is it? Okay, cool.
I started writing about it too. Like, what are the things you experience as a New Yorker, right? If you're a New Yorker, you experience certain things, right? So I started appreciating New York more.
Yeah.
Because ever since Japan, I felt like New York City, as much as I love it, doesn't feel like my home.
Yeah.
Even though every time I go to other states, I'm like, yeah, I want to go back to New York City. But after going to Japan, I feel like just the U.S. and New York in general, just not for me.
Like, yeah, there's a place out there for you.
Yeah.
But that's illuminating, because, like, imagine you were in New York for the whole time and never knew that. And it wasn't until you tried something new that you were just like, maybe that's not it.
Yeah.
But it's like, as far as that's your origin.
Mm-hmm. But it's still sad, though, that I came back and I could see more of the issues that were here before. Because once you take a break from New York City and then you come back, like, yeah, society could be improved, but there's not much I can do about it.
Hey, there's always something you can do.
Also,
you're bigger than you think. Your voice is bigger than
you. Also, the thing is, you probably have that perspective because you've lived there your whole life, but like everywhere has, you know, similar stuff. You know, if you're there long enough, yeah, for sure. So, I mean, I think I had the opposite thing where I haven't done much traveling in my life for the most part. The most stint I've had away from New York City was actually upstate New York for like I lived for like a year on two separate occasions each, and I hated it so damn much.
Was it the nature?
It was. No, listen, man. If so I slow. Get hung, if I want a snack at 2 a.m., I can go around the corner to the bodega, grab a bag of chips, good, done. Yep. Up there, you need a car and need to go to the nearest gas station that's still open 10 damn miles away. Hated it. And also, it was too quiet. People come to the city, right? And they're like, oh, it's so loud. There's always something going on. And I'm like, for me, it's just background noise. It was to the point where like, there were sometimes I couldn't sleep because it was too quiet.
Now you start hearing your own heartbeat. You start hearing your own heartbeat, and that's when you just... Yo, if you have anxiety and that happens, oh, my Lord, you're not sleeping that night. You're not sleeping.
Honestly, I live in the city right now, but it's like quiet. It's still quiet like at night, like because like it's the upper city, so it's not like super lively, except maybe on the weekends. But like there are times where I'm just laying there. I'm like...
It's comfortable, but... Yeah, I feel like if I visited anywhere else in the world, my favorite thing to realize is that it's the same sky. And that's like the most beautiful truth that you could kind of glean. Like, yeah, the stars may be different or whatever, but it's like it shines just as blue everywhere else. And it's just like it's very unifying, and it makes you feel like some people look at that like, oh, man, like, you know, I got to just look for architecture, all the human made stuff. And it's just like, no, we really just share this planet. And not to fall into the errors of like cosmopolitanism, because I don't think that's a good thing. Being a person of the planet, it kind of makes it so that you don't acknowledge your regional issues or your place in time. But just being grateful that you share something with every human that's ever lived is such a beautiful and profound experience. And it's just like, it's not till you go to somewhere else that you really crystallize that.
Yeah, that was the first time I was like, yeah, maybe New York City could be improved.
Yeah.
But everywhere else, I always wanted to return back because I'm like, this place is not New York City.
The scale is also really interesting because, like, you know, you're looking at on like the scale of like, oh, if you go to other places, you know, you're looking back at your home. But like,
yeah,
I went to, oh, we went to the Museum of Natural History recently.
Oh, yes. That's my favorite museum.
Yeah.
Crazy though.
And
history.
We went into this like show in the amphitheater that was about, you know, the universe and your place in it and like your cosmic address, right?
Yeah.
And there's such a poignant moment in it. If you've never been, it's really awesome. It's like a really immersive thing where it makes you feel like you're literally flying through the stars. It's crazy.
Like seven times.
But yeah, no, it's phenomenal. But there's this one poignant moment where it zooms out until Earth is just the tiniest speck, and it's Tom Hanks narrating it, which makes it even better.
Oh wow.
And he goes, "That's Earth. That's your home. That is where everyone that you have ever known and will ever know has lived and died."
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's insane to me. Where this is, we all share this tiny little speck of seemingly insignificant dust, yet it's the least insignificant thing in our lives because it is our lives, you know?
Yeah. And that's so beautiful.
I could go into the universe and planets and all that. Forever.
Next time I'm telling Shorty, pull up to my cosmic address. I'm stealing that like cosmic address. I'm sorry, yo. Shout out to Tom Hanks for that beautiful speech, but man, cosmic address.
Yeah, man.
Oh,
yeah.
I need that.
Pull up to my planet.
Yeah. But yeah, to talk about like kind of like the inequalities that are kind of staked into like New York. I mean, New York and its. Oh, okay, I got you. But like New York in general, like, and hopefully we'll talk about this in a separate episode, it marks some of like the best feats of humanity and some of like the worst feats of humanity all in one city, right next to each other. There's high levels of classism, racism, systemic issues that boil to the core of the city. But then with like the BQE, with the way that Robert Moses even architected the way that the city is laid out via highways. But you have some of the most profound nature of things. Like, you had that experience in the Natural Museum of History, but they also birth eugenics in that same spot. And it's just like, you have to deal with the duality of that. And that's why we have episodes like this, where it's just talking about gratitude and everything.
Just piggybacking off that real quick. One of, like, One thing that always, like, when I used to work at the last place I worked at with Trent and Derek, I'm not going to make them bleep it. I'm not going to say it, but whatever. It was this very large, very brand new building that probably took millions and millions of dollars to make. And as I'm walking through the subway on my way there, I see a homeless man laying in the tunnel.
Yeah.
And it's like that dichotomy of this gross display of wealth, meanwhile, this person who has nothing, you know?
Yeah.
So it, like you said, New York has its moments and its beauty, but again, it's also very gritty and low at times.
Yeah, and it's like there's not really a degree of separation, and so it's intentional that you have to be intentional about the grateful, the, you know, doing a Thankful Thursday, doing things in that nature, so that, you know, leaving the city to come back to really reevaluate it. It's very hard for a fish to see that he's in water and stuff like that, and it's just like you have to be active and be actively associating and dealing with the nature of what you want to put attention to and what you want to put gratitude to or towards. Mm-hmm. But yeah,
turn your thankfulness into action.
Mm. Yes.
I'm also thankful for that building too, for working.
Yeah.
Yes. We wouldn't have met each other if it wasn't for that building.
That's the one thing about that building that I can be thankful for, is the people that I said that when I was like quitting and putting in my message. I'm like, I've hated this place for the most part, but I have loved all the people I've met. And I stand by that. I met a lot of really awesome people, you two included.
Yeah.
That's when life actually started for me.
Yeah. Ooh, that's fire, though.
So that's when I actually started living the way that I should be living, in my opinion.
That's fire. So.
When did life start for you? That could be a good...
That would be great.
I'm just spitballing topics over here. Hold on.
Let's keep a mental note that maybe the start of season 3. We'll see. I'm grateful for everyone that has ever listened to this podcast, even if it was for like 0.01 seconds. Just the fact that you acknowledged the existence of us.
Even if you pulled it up on your screen and you're like, what's that? And kept scrolling. Yo, thank you.
Yo, thank you.
Thank you.
I love
you. May not hear this, but thank you.
Yes, this was an idea, and we're however many episodes in, with many more on the horizon.
Facts.
And I'm just happy that, you know, you tuned into I'm Not Supposed to Be Here, because the main message is that you are. And I'm very thankful.
I like that.
Yep. That's why we exist. Final shout outs, thank yous.
The wife, always.
Always.
That's it.
Shout out to Trent and everyone as well. It's always going to be the same. I was going to be thankful.
We appreciate it, though.
Exactly. But just thank you for inviting me and just giving me a voice.
Too, because I want to be invited back. So.
Steven didn't thank us. Put him on the blacklist.
Banned.
Go ahead, Mom. Get yours off.
I want to say thank you.
Talk your shit.
Sorry, I gotta laugh way too hard. There's a little like on the mic. But I want to say thank you to Trent for having me on. You know, I didn't think like I was that good of a podcaster. Then I locked in.
Yeah, you locked the fuck in last episode. Like you're a great podcaster. Like, he locked the hell in.
I feel like I'm actually worthy now, and I wouldn't have had that without the show. And I just want to say thank you.
He turned the mic into Mjolnir.
One day I'm gonna have my own podcast too.
Yeah.
Damn that show. Just remember me. Bring me on.
Coming soon.
Coming soon.
One day.
Yo. So thank you for an amazing season, all the people that's been on the season. In order of appearance, we have, not including the host, Amalia, Andrew Matthew, Michael VG, Prince Inspiration, Jules from the X, Jazz, Megamod, Andre Sobers, Dominic Dixon. Shout out to my brother. That was beautiful. Gad, Steven, Derek, Abe Vargas, Raphael, Mari. Do we have anybody else? No, I think that's it. A special thank you to my brothers Lucas and Sage for helping us conceive this idea and running with me when I was like, let's do this.
Yes, and thank you, Trent, for keeping I'm Not Supposed to Be Here alive in so many different ways for this thing. And you know what? After taking this from the new status quo, we have reached again yet another new status quo.
Yeah, we've set the bar for ourselves.
And, you know, only from here over. But you know what we learned? We learned how to be grateful again.
Absolutely. Oh, and a special thank you to Edward Hopper.
Yes.
If you know, you know. We're not going to get into it. We don't have enough time. Yeah, and James Dean.
Yes. But, yeah. The two windspills for this podcast.
Oh, my goodness. And audience, special shout out and
thank you for being invisible audience.
Yes, and thank you for always being there, invisible audience.
Yes,
you've been a very, very grateful invisible audience.
Oh my god.
Get high, no regret, really tired, overslept, feeling spied, that shit dead, then I'll do it all again.